Empower yourself today with legal knowledge and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient, and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Hello and welcome back to our podcast at Get Legally Speaking. We are proud to be the UK's number one and multi-award winning legal consumer podcast. Our legal conversation today will be on the ban of the XL bully dog. Unfair or needed? I am joined by senior barrister Simon Spence KC from Red Lion Chambers in London. Simon has successfully prosecuted and defended numerous very high profile and fatal violent offences for many years. His cases have included a number of highly complex matters which have attracted national and international media attention. In 2021, Simon represented a dog owner in a High Court case brought by the Royal Mail, and he has published articles about the Dangerous Dogs Act. He's also ranked in the Legal 500 and in Chambers and Partners. Simon, once again, thank you so much for joining me today.
Pleasure to be here, Hattie.
Quite a serious topic, and we're bringing this as a bonus episode because we were just saying it really is out there. Lots of people are talking about it. The ban of the XL bully dog breed has been a controversial topic that has sparked heated debates among dog owners and enthusiasts. While some argue that the ban is necessary to protect public safety, others believe that it is unfair to target a specific breed. Our Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, recently announced that the breed would be banned by the end of the year 2023 after a man in the West Midlands died following an attack by several dogs suspected to be XL bullies. The American XL Bully is a modern breed of dog developed in the 1990s, originally bred in Japan as a fighting dog, with the XL breed weighing over some 9 stone, 60 kilos. In today's bonus episode, Simon and I will be discussing the underlying reasons that the government may have considered when implementing such a ban, where you stand now if you own a dog of this breed, the licensing of the breed, and much, much more. As always, in plain and simple English. Simon, I mean, given that experts say that the American XL bully breed has been behind almost half of all attacks on humans and dogs killed since 2021, do you think that the government's sudden move to ban these dogs and to include them in the Dangerous Dogs Act was the right move to make?
Whether it's the right move or not, I think time will tell. I can understand why the government reacted as it did, because when you look at the statistics, they really are frightening as to the proportion of attacks by dogs of this particular breed as part of the overall proportion, far higher than any of the other four breeds of dog on the banned list under the Dangerous Dogs Act. So in principle, I can see why the government wants to ban it. Because it would seem, of all of the dogs that are on the list, it would appear to be by far the most dangerous. Mm. Having said which, I'm no expert, but I'm a dog owner myself, and I'm not convinced that dogs are, by nature, born aggressive. I think it's something that's bred into them by maybe a certain type of owner who wants an aggressive, dangerous dog. Mm. The other problem that I foresee is that this isn't a breed of dog in the way that, for example, my old Labrador is purebred Labrador. It's a crossbreed.
Yes. And genetically modified breed, isn't it?
Precisely. And by definition, how do you define how much of the particular dog has to be in the mix of DNA for it to be an American XL bully? And I can foresee somebody saying, well, it might look like one and it may have some of the characteristics of one, but it's not actually an XL bully as defined in the Act. So we'll end up with litigation, not about whether the dog has attacked anyone, but whether in fact it's a banned dog or not. Mm. Because the difference between banned breeds and banned crossbreeds as compared to the normal provisions of the Dangerous Dogs Act is that to be guilty of an offence under the Dangerous Dogs Act, your dog has to be dangerously out of control, which means it either has to threaten or in fact attack somebody. And it doesn't matter whether it's a Jack Russell, a Labrador, or one of the dogs on the banned list. But the thing with the XL bully is that mere possession of such a dog will in itself be a criminal offence, even if it's the most placid dog in the world.
And that's just it. I mean, you've touched on so many important points there and interesting points because it is a genetically modified breed, and one that has been dubbed a super breed, growing to become stronger and bigger than its relatives. Experts have said that these dogs, these crossbreed XL bully dogs, have extremely aggressive instincts because they share their DNA with the banned American pit bull terriers. I mean, and shockingly, there's been reported incidents, and this is what really shocked me, where this breed of dog have been killing their owners. For example, Natasha Johnson, the 28-year-old lady who was mauled to her death by her own dog. That's what's been really shocking to me because you don't often hear a dog turning on its own owner and eat, killing its owner. But then we had the tragic case of 34-year-old Ian Symes, who was savagely killed by an XL bully dog who weighed over 8 stone. I mean, these are really big dogs that, when you start, and I know this would probably sound a bit airy-fairy, but when you start mixing with nature and what's natural and what's should be happening, and as you say, if you've got a certain type of owner that wants that, is training its dog to be aggressive or to be defensive or whatever, it's not going to take much for a dog of that size, 8 stone, 9 stone, to do damage if it turns on anybody.
Absolutely. And many listeners will recall the footage from, I think, the week before last of the dog running amok at a petrol station. And when it jumped up at this person, the dog on its back legs was nearly as tall as the person that it was attacking. So clearly that there are elements of this breed of dog which is dangerous. The question, I think, and the bigger question is whether simply banning the breed is going to A, solve the problem, and B, is the right thing to do, or whether, in fact, it's simply going to push those owners who are prone to have dogs of this sort onto the next breed, which may be even more dangerous yet. And that's the trouble. When you look at the dogs that are on the banned list, it would appear that Pit Bull Terriers, which were the last ones to go on the list, having been the dog of choice then, has been replaced by the American XL Bully. And if that is then put on the banned list, people will simply go on to find another breed or crossbreed which can take its place. And you run the danger of it becoming a vicious circle of increasingly dangerous dogs.
No, I hear what you're saying. I mean, what's the position of people that are currently in ownership of an XL bully? What position are they going to be left in, given that the ban of the breed will come, by the end of this year, 23?
Well, as I understand it, and obviously the details have yet to be worked out by the government, and it's only a few days since they made the announcement. My understanding is that the chief vet for England and Wales has announced that anybody who owns a dog at present of this breed will be allowed to keep it, but will have to have it neutered, which will, of course, reduce its aggressive tendencies. And in public, it must always wear a muzzle.
Be on a lead, yes.
And so that, will clearly provide some safeguards. And of course, if the dog is banned, and if every dog in this country of that breed is neutered, by definition, it's going to be very difficult for the breed to exist for very much longer because
That's the
people won't be
idea.
breeding them. That's the idea in theory. The question is it going to drive underground breeding of these dogs? And that's the risk, I think, that at the moment it's lawful to do it. The minute you make it unlawful, it drives the problem underground, and it then becomes a lot more difficult to both police and to monitor and prosecute.
Yes, to manage it, to manage the situation. I mean, this
Yes.
is the thing. If you've got a dog, an XL bully or a dog that's been banned, and you're walking down the street and it doesn't have a muzzle on, it doesn't have a lead on, there has to be a police officer there to see that and to say, right, what's going on here? Because not many people are going to stop an owner, I don't think, and say, excuse me, but why isn't your dog wearing a muzzle or a lead, given, that these dogs can be aggressive or, can show aggression.
Yes.
But The government has spoken about a licensing scheme. So do you think that a legal requirement to have a licensing scheme or wear a muzzle or making sure your dog was on a leash, if these had come in prior, because the attacks have been happening now for some years, it's sort of come to a head, I think, this year. But do you think if
Yes.
these requirements were in place before, knowing that these are big dogs, they're crossbreeds, they have shown experts, some experts are saying, you know, they're very aggressive dogs, they have tendencies to be aggressive as well, could have avoided a lot of these fatal attacks. I mean, don't you think that certain dogs should, you should have to have a license to own them?
I think with certain dogs that may be the case. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when everybody who had a dog had to have a dog license. And used to go and buy it at the
Really?
local post office. Oh yeah.
Oh wow. When did that, do we know, when did that come to an end? Do we know?
A long, long time ago, when I
You're
was a boy growing
that
up,
old, Simon.
and my parents had a dog, you know, I remember going with my father
That's really
to the post office to
interesting.
buy a dog license.
I wonder why they got rid of that. Very
Well, I
interesting.
think it was, first of all, I think the cost of administering it outweighed the income that it brought. And it didn't actually produce any sort of regulatory effect.
Right.
And I think matters really have been superseded by microchipping. Most
Yeah.
dog owners that I know have their animals microchipped for their own purposes. But of course, microchipping a dog can also be used as a way of regulating behavior. And I wonder if that is perhaps more the route to go down, to make it
Yeah.
compulsory for animals to be microchipped with the owner's details. So that if a dog attacks somebody, the owner can be traced.
Yes.
Now, again, there are going to be ways around that, and those that are of such a mindset will find a way to do it. But that's true of any regulatory system that you have in place. One of the other suggestions I have seen in the debate that's raging on social media about this is whether people should have compulsory third-party insurance
That's
if they
interesting.
own a dog. So that at least there's some form of compensation through an insurance claim if a dog attacks somebody and injures them.
Yes, quite, because I'm going to come on to that. I mean, in England and Wales, statistics say dog attacks have risen 34% in the last 5 years. That's a lot. Now, I don't know how much dog ownership may have risen in comparison to that, but 34% is a big increase for anything. And there's the UK-based Kennel Club have said in particular, you know, in relation to the XL bully dog, that breed-specific legislation ignores the most important factors that contribute to biting incidents, primarily antisocial behaviour by irresponsible dog owners who train their dogs to be aggressive or do not train their dogs adequately. And I know you touched on that earlier, and that I have heard lots of people saying that, you know, it's not about the dog, it's about the ownership, it's about how they're being raised and trained. But, you know, when I think about that young lady, Natasha Johnston, you know, she's a dog trainer, she's a dog walker. So for her to be mauled and eaten alive, goodness, by her own dog, you know, it does make you think, is it purely down to the people that are raising these dogs and looking after these dogs? Or can, you know, do they have tendencies more than any other breed, or more than most breeds that are not on the Dangerous Dogs Act list, to turn? The question is asked, you know.
I think that the problem is no dog, however well behaved you may think it is 100% reliable. Apart from through old age, so with my dog, for example, he's so slow moving now that he wouldn't be able to catch anybody or
Oh,
anything.
bless.
But, you know, I think all dog owners have to realize that however well behaved they think their own dogs are, you can't 100% guarantee that there may not be some circumstance which sets a dog off, perhaps for no reason at all.
Quite. And I find that that's quite an interesting point when you co I've got young children, and in a park, I'm always guarding my children from dogs, and I see v big dogs where, you know, the owners will say, oh, he's very lovely, or he won't bite, he's very kind. And I think, yes, but you don't know what that dog's thinking. And
No.
something, you know, my little boy might poke him in the eye or do something, you know, that a child may do. And I've always worried about young children around dogs, because you don't know, like you say, no
No,
dog is
well, I
100%
mean,
reliable.
this is one of the problems. It's one of the examples I give in the article that I've written. Say you've got a dog in a thoroughly dog-proof garden, because it's a warm day, you don't want the dog sat in the house, but he's in the garden, he's loose, but the garden is dog-proof. If a child's ball from the neighbour's garden bounces over the fence, and the child climbs the fence into the garden to retrieve the ball, they're plainly trespassing. And so what's the legal position then if the dog bites the child?
Well, it depends if you're in the US or in the UK, Simon.
Precisely. But of course, the Dangerous Dogs Act was amended some years ago to increase the scope of it, not just to public places, but private places as well, primarily to deal with the concerns that the Royal Mail raised about the increase in numbers of postmen getting their hands bitten when they were putting mail through the letterbox. And so now, if your dog is in the house and it bites somebody through the letterbox or whatever it may be, unless that person is trespassing, you're still liable for the dog's conduct and guilty of an offence.
Right.
But bizarrely, it doesn't appear to apply to a garden.
But how
So,
bizarre. But the garden's
very
still the property.
right, and it's still part of the household, you'd think.
Yes.
But the case that I dealt with, in fact, was whether a postman who behaved negligently by not using a postal stick to put the post through, even though they had one, was exceeding the implied license of the householder, and therefore became a trespasser. And the
Goodness.
administrative court said no, they weren't a trespasser, and the responsibility is on the dog owner, not on the postal worker. But what if
Yes.
somebody who taunts a dog, deliberately taunts a dog and provokes it?
And then the dog can't, I mean, I know this sounds really silly, unless you've got it on camera or video or something, the dog can't actually say, well, actually, sorry, this is what happened. This is what
Yes,
really
I
happened.
was provoked. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's a really difficult area. And the trouble is, because we are a nation primarily of dog lovers, and dogs have always played a large part in people's domestic circumstances, people are going to have views both sides of the fence. People who are dog lovers will naturally think, well, the law is now too harsh in relation to dogs. Those who don't like having dogs and don't like dogs, are fearful of them, will say the law hasn't gone far enough. And so that I think that's one of the difficulties which has been highlighted by this proposal from the government. Because at the end of the day, although I can understand their desire to ban it, and it looks as if it will become law because Labour are supporting the measure, I do think more thought and focus needs to be given to education of dog owners.
Yes, and what happens going forward with the
Absolutely.
ownership of
And
this dog and other dogs, perhaps,
absolutely.
shouldn't be
And
singled out, really.
yeah, and making clearer the consequences of what may happen if your dog does attack someone. Because I'm not sure people realise that it's an offence punishable with 2 years imprisonment.
Well, I don't think they do, to be honest with you, because now if the dog goes on to the Dangerous Dogs Act, you can't own, sell, crossbreed. Anything of that sort. But obviously, there's amnesty being given to the dogs now, the XL bullies in particular. But it is a very controversial topic because, it just, as a layperson, I'm not a dog owner. We did have a small family dog, but he was tiny and he wasn't really a dog that anybody had to worry about walking down the road. He was so tiny. But when you hear that these dogs are turning on their owners, that's what makes me more worried than ever. And you get some dogs that look really aggressive. Just they look it, or they're huge. They're bouncing about. They're young. They're in the parks, and you just don't know what's going to happen. And I think it's hard to find that balance where you are putting enough in place, legals in place, laws in place to protect the innocent people, protect people who've got nothing to do with the dog. And to protect the dog as well, as you say, if someone's provoking a dog and the dog turns on that person, ultimately the dog and its owner are liable for whatever the dog's done.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well,
But the
certainly the owner
dog,
is.
yes, absolutely. And this is what actually many people don't know, Simon, to be honest with you, that as an owner of a dog, you are utterly liable for its actions. That's quite
Absolutely.
surprising.
Yes.
And as you said, you can go to prison for it. You can get a criminal record for it.
Absolutely. And of course, and of course, you can be banned from keeping dogs. A lot of people don't understand that either. But in the case of the man who died a few days ago, the dog owner was arrested on suspicion of manslaughter.
Because it was his friend, wasn't it? He took his friend's dog
That's
out
right.
for a
Yes.
walk, and
Yeah.
then the dog turned on him.
And I don't think there's been any announcement about any charges being brought. But the thing is, if you take a dog that you know is capable of being dangerous out in a public place and let it off its lead, arguably you are being grossly negligent. And gross negligence, as we've discussed in previous podcasts,
Yes.
is a legal foundation, a legal basis for an offence of manslaughter. So if your dog attacks someone and kills them, and you are grossly negligent, you are potentially guilty of manslaughter, which can be punished with up to life imprisonment.
Yes.
And whilst the penalties in the Dangerous Dogs Act, compared to other forms of assault, whether it be direct or indirect, are relatively modest, you know, if a dog is capable of killing somebody, and these XL bully dogs clearly are, then anybody who's got one is potentially putting themselves at risk of a prosecution for manslaughter.
Indeed, quite, and their own lives in danger, really, I
Well, of
think, to a
course.
certain degree, because, you know, as I said, I haven't, there may be lots of cases, but I haven't really read a lot about dogs turning on their owners. I mean, there was the grandmother, the lady who's a grandmother who got eaten by her own dogs. She got mauled
And
to death.
the more common scenarios is when there's a child in the household
Oh, I've
and a
read a
dog
lot of
will,
those in the last couple of years.
unexpectedly turn on a child.
Yeah.
And that's that there are many, many cited cases of that.
Well, it happened to my mother's neighbour when I was about 12 years old. We had the ambulance crew was coming past, the police were arrived, and everything was kicking off. She was sitting in front of the TV on the floor. She was the younger than me, so she was about 11, watching television. An Alsatian dog who they owned as a family dog for many, many since baby, you know, since it was weeks old, all of a sudden turned on her, picked her up from her stomach, and was swinging her around the living room. Thankfully, there was an adult at home which saved her from the situation, but she ended up with a lot of stitches and in a very, very bad way. She was only 11 years old, and
Yeah.
that's a dog they owned from the day it had been born.
Yes, but the difficulty is, of course, if it's a young child and they're on the floor, you don't know what that child may have done to provoke the dog to act as it did.
Well, when she recovered and she told us the story, she was just literally sitting there watching TV and the dog just
Yeah.
turned. So it does
Well, it goes
happen.
back to the point I made earlier that no dog owner can be 100% sure that their dog is always going to behave well at all times. And
Quite.
that's the inherent danger in owning a dog. And if you don't have that in the forefront of your mind at all times, you are potentially causing a risk not only to yourself, but to the animal as well, and to the greater, wider public.
Quite, quite. Simon, it's been another great show. Thank you so much. That's all we've got time for. Thank you so much for joining me.
Pleasure.
And what I'll say to our listeners is don't forget to click and subscribe to our podcast. We have over 150 to choose from. You can find us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube by searching Get Legally Speaking. Also visit our website at getlegallyspeaking.com. Thank you for listening.
Empower yourself today with legal knowledge and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient, and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com.